Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Verses 1 through 9, Genesis chapter 12. Father, we thank you for the precious gift of your word. And thank you, Lord, for every book in all of the Bible, the word of God. And thank you in a unique way for the wonderful gift of Genesis, the book you gave us to introduce yourself and to the world to you and your word. Father, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of each and every one of our listeners and all of us with a mighty, 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 mighty anointing so that we'll be abundantly receptive to your word, your will, and your spirit as you speak to us through the broadcast today. Do a perfect work in our lives and help us to grow an understanding of the need for us to be continually seeking to come to know you better and better through your word, and help us to be faithful to live a lifestyle of doing just that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the book of Genesis. And Father, thank you also for Moses and all the work that he did in writing scriptures for the church. Father, thank you so much for how well you have kept the Bible together to tell us your story, to tell us our own story. And Father, thank you so much for all the fruit and life that you leave for us to find in you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're wanting to continue to remind our listeners that we're in the midst of our 2025 preborn campaign, in which American Family Radio partners with the wonderful ministry called Preborn to help provide free ultrasounds for women at a time in need in their lives. Sadly, abortion is the leading cause of death in the United States and in the world, and over 66 million babies' lives have been tragically taken since Roe v. Wade was in 1973. And sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are even at a greater risk in a very real way. In the midst of this awful tragedy, there are things you and I can do to help address this. Preborn and American Family Radio are asking you to partner with us to help moms choose life and to help save. Our goal is 4,500 babies just this week. Well, again, many of our listeners may be wondering, just what is Preborn? What's the ministry of Preborn about? What is its mission and its work? Well, Preborn is directly working against the tragic abortion industry in our culture. And Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. And by letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, A baby's chance at life is literally doubled. Since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. Your sponsorship provides mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. And all these services are provided free of charge to the moms up to 2 years of assistance. So again, we're inviting you to be one of the heroes of this very important cause, to be a part of this campaign. Specifically, we'd like to invite you to prayerfully consider giving a gift of, for example, $28. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. And maybe you could sponsor at least one, if not one more, but please prayerfully get involved. In order to call in to make a commitment, a pledge to help do that, the number to call is 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate going to AFR.net. Again, the number 877-616-2396. Or you can go online to give at AFR.net. We ask that you prayerfully consider getting involved with this very important campaign. I would like to mention that the ministry that the Lord led my wife, Birdie, and I to start, called the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry, which does serve in the Mississippi Delta. Preborn was the ministry that gave us a beautiful brand new ultrasound machine. It's the one that we use on the ministry up to this day. I believe it was valued right at about $15,000. They gave it to us, no charge whatsoever, and has continued to be a great blessing. And the Lord definitely has used it to help save a lot of babies. So please do prayerfully consider giving to the ministry of Preborn. They're doing a great work in all that they do as a ministry. Once again, the numbers to call to make a pledge, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396, or go online to donate at AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. Again, we do hope that you will get involved. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, Genesis, the book of beginnings. And, you know, it's tremendous to take the time to stop and think about the message and the messages of the book of Genesis. Genesis, of course, is the first book in the Bible. And keep in mind, of course, God is the author of the Bible. The Bible, in the truest sense of the word, is an autobiography. It's a book by God about God. God used around 40 or so secretaries to write it. But again, it's a book by God about God. And God chose to introduce himself and the whole Bible with the book of Genesis. And of course, he introduces us to Genesis, but then he introduces the book of Genesis with Genesis chapter 1, which is the story, the wonderful story of creation. We're going to take time now to read through Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green herb, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. End of Genesis chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. Today we're looking at the topic, Genesis, the book of beginnings. And just a reminder once again, if you're wanting to get involved with our preborn campaign this year, as preborn and AFR partner together to help provide free ultrasounds for women who may find themselves expecting at a tough time, the number to call to make a pledge, keep in mind a gift of $28 provides one free ultrasound for a mom, giving her the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. The numbers to call, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to give at AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Captivated.
Music of Mercy Me with all of creation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we're encouraging you to get involved with our 2025 preborn campaign, in which we're seeking to help provide free ultrasounds to women, encouraging them to choose life for their babies and not the tragedy of abortion. Keep in mind, preborn ministry not only rescues babies, but mothers through the life-changing truth of the gospel. When you lead a mother to Christ, you're leading generations to Christ for years to come in a very real sense. And you become one of the heroes of this very important concern. Again, remember, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion, a free ultrasound, giving the life of the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions. To get involved, to make a pledge to help in that regard, call 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate going to AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. Again, today we're looking at the topic Genesis, the book of beginnings. And we just did share a few moments ago, Genesis chapter 1. I would encourage you as a believer, make it your goal to read Genesis chapter 1 regularly, just often in your life. And one of the reasons why is, again, it's the chapter God chose to introduce the whole Bible to us with, and also he introduces himself through this chapter as he tells the wonderful and powerful and awesome story of creation. And also reading Genesis chapter 1 often reminds us of the bigness of God, the greatness of God, the power of our mighty Heavenly Father and our God. So reading Genesis chapter 1 often, I think, is a wise thing. Parents, I think it's very wise for you to have your children to read it out loud to you on a regular basis so that they will learn to become familiar with the wonderful story of creation in the Word of God. Keep in mind, God's Word is the truth. And it's truth that sets us free. Sadly, we live in a world that tries to lie to us about so many things, including where we came from, how the world was created, how the universe was created. You hear people talk about different kind of scientific theories. Well, keep in mind, true science, real science, lines up perfectly with the Word of God. Sometimes you may hear people say, well, faith and science don't mix. Well, let me say very clearly, that's not true at all. Real science lines up perfectly with the Word of God. And the reason I say that is because sadly, sometimes you have people with things that they call science, which really aren't science at all, but in fact are theories or guesses that people have come up with, and yet sadly they'll call it science. Real science has to line up with the Word of God, because remember, science is simply an explanation of what has been created in nation in nature and how it was created. So science, true science, has to line up with the wonderful word of God. Well, again, Genesis, the first book in the Bible, it has 50 chapters, and there are four main events in the book of Genesis. Those events are creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. And also there are four key people in the book of Genesis. Those persons are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And keep in mind, too, one important truth I want to impress upon you is that from Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God, the Bible, is many things, but one of the powerful things it is it's a book of faith. It teaches us about faith, how to receive faith, and how to grow our faith as well. And the Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it lets us know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you can't please God without faith, apparently faith is extremely important to everything in the kingdom of God. So the book of Genesis is the book that basically introduces us to the concept of faith in the Word of God. And may it be the goal for every listener to be growing tremendously every day in your faith and how to apply your faith to life in order to be a victorious kingdom warrior. Again, in the book of Genesis, it has, again, 50 chapters. Chapters 1 to 11 basically tell the story of man, or you might say the history of people. And chapters 12 to 50 tell the story or the history of the Hebrew people in particular. And so keep in mind, the whole Bible, all of God's Word, the written Word of God, it really is one story. It's God's story, and it all flows together wonderfully in a number of very beautiful ways. You could say that in the beginning, creation screams, God is good. And yet, sadly, Genesis also introduces us to how man fell into sin. You know, we read Genesis chapter 1, but chapter 3 lays out for us the tragic incident in which Satan came into the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, the perfect man and the perfect wife, originally in the Garden of Eden, and the devil came and tempted them to doubt the Word of God and to get away from the Word of God, and sadly, they fell for Satan's deception. They ate of the fruit that God told them not to eat of, and sin came into their lives, and sin entered into the world, and the world became a very, very different place. And so chapter 3 helps us know what how sin came into the picture of the world as we know it today. So again, as we look at the story of creation, again, as I was speaking of a moment ago, creation screams, God is good. Yet sadly, Satan's response is he really good? And one of Satan's tactics has been from the book of Genesis all the way up to today, one of his tactics is to get you to question the Word of God, to doubt the Word of God, or to decide, I'm not sure if I really trust the Word of God. And remember, we're called to be a people that trust Him. From Genesis to Revelation, an important message that God wants His people to know is that the just shall live by faith. And Genesis powerfully introduces us to the fact that God calls us to be a people that will hear the Word of God, trust and obey the Word of God as well. So again, you could say the whole Bible, in the truest sense of the word, is a book of faith, a book about faith with very important truths and insights that we're wise to learn and apply to our lives as we live a life of faith. Look with me now in the book of Genesis chapter 12. We read a portion of it earlier, but let's take time to go through all of Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with you, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Verses 1 through 20, Genesis chapter 12. And again, here in this chapter, we're largely introduced further to Abraham, well, Abram at this point, who later becomes Abraham. But here he's someone God calls him to pack up and move from his home country, to a land that he would show him. So Abram had, he heard the word of God, and he had a choice to make. Either he was going to trust and obey God and follow what he told him to do, or he was going to decide, "I'm just going to stay home where I am and be content." Well, praise God. The fact is, Abram did decide to hear the word of God and obey the word of God, packed up and moved as God directed him. And God let him know that he was going to give the land that he came to, the promised land, to him and his descendants. And what a powerful truth to recognize that God always keeps his promises. The nation of Israel is a nation that exists to this day, living on land God gave them as a nation. God keeps his promises. And so keep in mind, one of the very important lessons we can draw from and learn from the book of Genesis is, again, the Bible, the whole word of God, is a book of faith. It's a book that teaches and trains us to be faith warriors who take the word of God and stand on the word of God. And as we stand on the word of God, we see that God is in the business of fulfilling his word. Lord, thank you for the fact that you call us to be a people that are listening to you always, listening to your word, obeying and trusting your word. More and more, help us to be wise enough to make our lives a lifestyle of listening to your word and obeying and living by your word as well. Help us to know, Lord, that we're all called to be faithful in doing just that. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Well, again, as we mentioned a few moments ago, as we said, the four key events in the book of Genesis are creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. And then the four key people are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And keep in mind, a key word in the book of Genesis is beginnings. Of course, it's a book about many beginnings. Now, remember, obviously, the book of Genesis is not about the beginning of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're eternal. They always have existed. They never had a beginning. And, you know, you and I, we can't even wrap our minds around that. So it's not the beginning of everything. It's not about the beginning of, again, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they have no beginning, but it's about our beginnings and where our world and where we came from as a people that inhabit the earth. Once God created us, we are eternal beings. We're going to spend eternity. And by faith, we say we'll spend eternity in heaven. Praise God, because we're hoping and believing that every listener will come to know Christ if you don't know Christ already. But the fact is, once we're created, we're all eternal human beings that will live forever somewhere. Those that have received Christ will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father in heaven forever and ever. But sadly, those that reject Christ or don't bother with the Lord Jesus Christ will spend an eternity in a tragic place called hell. How important it is that you and I make it a goal to be sure that we get saved and that we live for the Lord and do our part to help take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. We hope that each and every person will choose to be a part of the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Genesis, the Book of Beginnings. We'll be right back. Of Dunsin Oyakon with a song simply entitled Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We are in the midst of our preborn week here at American Family Radio for 2025. Again, the ministries of Preborn and American Family Radio are partnering together to help provide free ultrasounds to moms that are considering abortion, encouraging them to choose life for their babies. Again, keep in mind, over the past 18 years, Preborn Partner Clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion, and more than 300,000 babies' lives have been saved, and more than 80,000 women have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so keep in mind, Preborn Ministry not only rescues babies, but mothers through the life-changing truth of the gospel as well. And when you lead a mother to Christ again, you potentially are helping to lead generations to Christ as well. So we're encouraging you to keep in mind that your gift of $28 provides one free ultrasound for a woman who's considering abortion, giving the mom the chance to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasounds. To call or go online to make a pledge, you can call 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. We hope that you will prayerfully consider getting involved. We're looking today at the topic, Genesis, the Book of Beginnings. And so picking up in Genesis chapter 37, and again, we had mentioned that the four key character individuals in the book of Genesis are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Well, in Genesis chapter 37, we pick up where it focuses largely on the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pastoring the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons. Again, now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons. More than any of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I've dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent them from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 36, the entire chapter. Again, as we mentioned, four key characters in the book of Genesis are, again, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And, of course, Joseph here, it tells the story of Jacob and his family, and Joseph is one of the 12 brothers that Jacob had. And obviously, as you learn and read through the story of Jacob and his 12 sons, you see that there were some pretty serious and sad things going on in this family. He had brothers that literally hated one of their siblings, their own brother, and conspired, thought about, or where they were considering killing him, but then decided, let's not kill him, let's sell him off as a slave. But the hand of God and the grace of God was upon Jacob and his whole family, even in the midst of major challenges within the family, within the home. You know, sadly, one could say that this was a very dysfunctional family. But you know, the reality is sin makes every family dysfunctional in the truest sense of the word. Every family desperately needs Jesus. They need to know Jesus and receive him. Well, of course, Joseph goes down to Egypt as a slave, but God's grace and hand is upon him. As time goes on, he's promoted in Potiphar's house, and things seem to be getting better for him. But then at a certain point, Joseph is accused of doing wrong, something he didn't do at all, ended up being put in prison. But God, in his mercy and grace, drew Joseph out of prison and raised him up after he interpreted a dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh promotes Joseph to become the prime minister of Egypt, and Joseph has now been lifted up, carrying out the truths behind the prophetic dream Joseph had had even as a child. Well, at a certain point in time, Joseph's brothers come to Egypt looking for food. And after Joseph takes them through a series of, you might say, tests, he reveals himself to them that he is, in fact, the brother that they sold to Egypt. Well, of course, obviously the brothers are terrified, but Joseph, in his mercy, understood that God in his sovereignty was leading Joseph to a particular place and a particular destiny in him. And even the brothers who felt really upset with themselves for what they did, Joseph could say to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." We serve a God that's so big, he can take the biggest tragedy and the most difficult or troubled circumstances in the world and bring good out of them, because he's a God that's so big, he knows just how to do that. We're to live for his glory, his honor, and his praise. Father, thank you again for the powerful and the wonderful story of the book of Genesis. Thank you for the many insights and truths about living a life of faith that you call us to. Thank you for the example of all the characters. Thank you especially for Joseph, who trusted you even through major storms and difficulties and saw your hand of grace lift him from prison to become the prime minister of Egypt and one who was in a position to do great things in serving you because he knew who he was in relation to you, his heavenly Father. Thank you again for the wonderful book of Genesis. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, today we've been looking at the topic, Genesis, the book of beginnings. And want to continue to remind you that we're in the midst of our week where we're partnering with Preborn for the year 2025, American Family Radio and Preborn. We're inviting you to get involved with helping to provide free ultrasounds for women who are considering abortion. Remember, $28 provides one free ultrasound to a woman considering abortion, giving the mom the chance to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions. To call and to make a pledge to help with this important effort, call 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396, or you can go online to donate at AFR.net. Again, that's at AFR.net. www.thebookofgenesis.net. We do hope that you will get involved. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day, a wonderful day to make that very important step. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, would you from your heart pray this prayer along with us right now and commit your life to Him? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed and committed your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect and be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again. Joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. And again, if you'd like to get involved with the important campaign, the preborn campaign of providing free ultrasounds for women considering abortion, we invite you to get involved. Again, $28 provides one free ultrasound, 140, five free ultrasounds. The number to call, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.